to the Lord, and he just, well, I'll never bow my knee. But I got news for him, and I got news for the whole world. You already know this in the kingdom of God. But every knee, the Bible says, will bow to this king. And whether they do it this side of heaven, you and I did. We bowed our knee. We gave our heart to the king. But the rest will do it on the other side when it's too late. But they will bow their knee to him, and they will confess with their mouth that Jesus is Lord. It'll be all for the glory of God. Praise God. Aren't you glad you bowed your knee, bowed your heart, surrendered to him, especially at a time like this? The kingdom of God is not a kingdom that men or the devil can topple. Jesus overcame for us. The devil, he fights violently. Satan's scheming and he's planning. And he's constantly, tirelessly. That's the one compliment I can give the devil. He's very ambitious. He never gets tired. He works tirelessly, sending his minions, sending his demons to try to topple and destroy the kingdom of God, which cannot be destroyed. Jesus said the gates of hell will never, ever prevail. He said that about his church. But his church is the corporate expression of the kingdom of God. When you and I get together, whether it's a handful in a house or we fill out and pack out the house of God here, whatever, we are the corporate expression of the kingdom of God. Though you can't see God, though you can't see the angels, the kingdom of God is residing where God's people are. We take the kingdom of God wherever we go. The church is the corporate expression of the kingdom of God here on earth. And how is it that we can express the kingdom of God? It's because he is in us. Jesus said the kingdom of God is within us. When we were born again, the Holy Spirit moved into you. That's awesome. God, the instant you got saved, the very instant you got saved, they didn't have to check out anything. God didn't have to send someone to peer into your heart and to look into your life to see how it was. But the instant you totally surrendered your life to the Lord, repented of your sin, and you did this from your heart, God came and lived in you. Now, I often say it's amazing we didn't explode when God comes and lives in these fragile bodies, but he is God and he can do what he wants. But the minute and the instant he did that, you became a citizen of the kingdom of God. I heard somebody recently say there is no race in America. And I thought about that, how true that is. This nation is made up of all kinds of races. People came, you know, just because some of the first ones that came, they didn't necessarily set the standard of what races are here. But as races from all over the world came here and they applied for citizenship, and as soon as they were approved, the minute they did that, they had the authority, they had the freedom of every American to be a citizen. Doesn't matter what the people around them thought about them. Didn't matter if anybody else looked down on their race, looked down on them. They were a citizen and had all of the privileges and rights of every American. That's so awesome. You and I, we didn't graduate or anything. We were born into the kingdom of God. You instantly became a child of God when you gave your life to the Lord. You were instantly, though you may be immature in handling it, you're instantly given authority and power over this world, over the demonic forces. And as we grow in the Lord, we learn how to exercise it and understand who we are in the Lord. As the Lord keeps us and humbles us, that we can exercise this authority and power to be a child of God. To as many as received them, to them gave he the power to be sons of God, gave you the power to be a child of God. That word power means authority, So just as someone became an American citizen, we have authority because we were born into the kingdom of God. That means we have authority in this world. We don't have to cower. We don't have to shrink back. You know, when my son Adam was born, he didn't have to wait for so many months to go by, fulfill a certain obligations to me to prove that he was my son. But the instant he was born, the instant he came out of his mother's womb, well, even before, while he was in there, while he was in there, he was a fisher, you know, amen. But he came out and was birthed in this world, and he was a fisher, and he immediately came under my care. If he was left to be there with no attention, he would have died within a few days. But he came under my care, came under mine and Joy's authority. So as children of God, we immediately come under the care and protection of God. Amen. Aren't you glad, saints of God, that we can go to him and we can hide in him? Praise God. But I'm not asking us to be hiding. I'm asking us to rise up in this day and share with the world what's happened to you and I. You don't have to be in the fivefold ministry. You don't have to be evangelists to share the gospel. If you read carefully, the demoniac, when he got delivered, he wanted to go with Jesus. Can I go with you? And Jesus says, no, I want you to stay and tell everybody what great things God did for you. The next time Jesus landed over there, there was people waiting to see Jesus. The demoniac did his job. Amen. When you become a child of God, you have a testimony, and that testimony is powerful. Paul, when you read later in Acts, twice, you see where he is given his testimony. And you know, he probably did that 1,000 times. You don't have to have this special anointing as an evangelist to share what God has done with you. Share how you became a child of the kingdom of God. You know, every kingdom that has ever come into power in the history of our world has been conquered, or at least has fizzled out. But God's kingdom is from eternity past. Before this world was ever created, there was God's kingdom. And his kingdom will be in power forever and ever and ever. I cannot grasp, beyond our ability to grasp, how God could have always been. It seems like, was it like 1 billion years before he decided to make this planet? That just blows my mind. But I can a little bit more understand to live forever. That just means we're going to live forever and ever and ever. But either one of those is pretty hard to comprehend. But that's God's kingdom, and it's an eternal kingdom. He invited us. He has brought us in, and we have entered into. Before there was a nation of Israel, there was the kingdom of God. Before there was ever the church, there was the kingdom of God. When this world is reeling in panic over a virus, just over a virus, the church can be assured that this virus cannot affect or infect God's kingdom. You can't enter into God's kingdom and pick up a disease. You cannot enter into God's kingdom and pick up trouble, because it's a pure kingdom, it's a holy kingdom, it's a righteous kingdom. God's kingdom is not vulnerable to any sickness or disease. So again, I say, aren't you glad you have entered in? But now we as citizens of this world can be affected by the sickness, disease, and evil things that have plagued mankind. Because you and I are in this world as a representative of the kingdom of God, we can therefore be affected by things of this world. I was telling my neighbor, I says, just imagine if the whole world would just simply hold to the Ten Commandments. They would never break the Ten Commandments. There would be probably no such thing as a lock. If there was, it might be just lock your kids from getting into something dangerous. But nobody would have locks on their doors. You could just buy a $20 doorknob instead of a $150 fancy entrance door with a deadbolt and all of that on it. If everybody obeyed the Ten Commandments, there would be no STDs in this world. No one would be murdered. No, you would never have to worry about someone telling you a lie, just if we did that. But it's not like that in the world. And you and I are affected by lies. You and I are affected by diseases. You and I are affected by evil in this world. God forbid that we're ever the cause of that. Amen? So I will never, ever tell you that if you are a Christian, nothing bad will ever happen to you. If I did, I would think every one of you would shut me down and say, well, I'll give you an example of something bad that's happened to me. I've gotten sick since I've been a Christian. I've gotten the flu since I've been a Christian. I've had to suffer when bad things happen. I was here when 9/11 happened. I was affected by that. So I would never tell you that every one of us is safe and will not get the virus. I would never tell you that. And I would say, you know, you are smart to use precautions. And just like we do a normal flu season here, every once in a while, someone on Facebook, hey, pray for me. I'm sick. I won't be to church tonight. You know, they don't want to come and spread it. I appreciate it. That's using common sense. We're not just going to like, God's just going to watch us, and I'm just going to walk out into the middle of the street and cross whenever I want to. I don't have to look if there's any cars coming because God will protect me. If I had a mentality like that, I wouldn't be preaching right here. I put out a post earlier this week, Exodus 15:26, and said, if you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God, and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you. That goes to show that God is still in control of diseases when they come, when they go. They're at his discretion. They're at his purpose. But he does that. And he's promising Israel, if you follow me, if you're faithful to me, I'm not going to let any of the diseases of Egypt come on you, which I have brought on the Egyptians. So he even allowed them and caused them to go on Egyptians. For I am the Lord who heals you. Boy, can you see some of the advantage we have as a Christian? He keeps diseases from being on us. And if we do get them, he's the one we go to. He heals us. We got two things working in our advantage. So this promise is of God made to Israel. And we cannot claim this as a guarantee that no sickness will ever come on us. But I do believe we see a principle here. I do see if we live a life faithful to God, we follow after God, that we do have protection from God. I would think if you could possibly take a survey and write down all of the things in a sickness that have come on Christians and have come on the rest of the world, I wouldn't be a bit surprised to see the Christians are less infected and less affected than people of the world. So I do believe this, that we do have favor with God. Since we came under God's grace and took advantage of it, grace has been activated in our life. That meaning God has given, poured out his grace. Jesus is full of grace and truth. He poured out in his grace. All of us believers took advantage of that grace. We accepted that grace. We allowed the grace of God to come in. And because of that, we have opened up that faucet, so to speak. We've opened up that channel, that flow of the river of grace to continue to flow in our life. So though all of the world has the grace of God to save them, they don't get what you and I do, the grace of God flowing in us in the everyday situations of life. We still have his favor. Those who refuse God's grace also lose out on the grace of God to be active in their life. If they're going to be stubborn and resistant against God's grace to save them, then God isn't just going to be pouring out his grace on them in other areas of their life. Most of all, he wants them. This grace that God gives us continues to watch over us. So the things that happen to the sinners of this world quite often will not happen to us. So I do want to encourage you, church, that we don't have, as much as we're going to be cautious and we want to, you know, stand with America right now and fight this together, I believe we can have some confidence and boldness that the Lord is going to protect us. So, and when we do follow the Lord and we do live for the Lord, I can promise you that some things won't affect us. There isn't any of us that are going to die of alcoholism because we're not drinkers. We don't get drunk, you know? So we're not going to die of alcoholism. There's not any of us. Well, we could because there could be bad blood transferred, but none of us are going to die from AIDS, from perverted sex. Why? Because we don't practice it. So we do by just living for the Lord are already excluded from a lot of things that happen. None of us, I would think none of us are going to end up jail for killing somebody because we practice loving people. None of us are going to get arrested for stealing because we practice loving one another and giving of our. If you're a giver, you don't take. You don't rob from people. You give to people. So we are a people that do have the favor of God. You know, we just got to keep that in the right balance. And then we are a special people. Titus 2:14, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself. He's in the work of purifying us for himself, his own special people, zealous for good works. In 1 Peter 2:9, we sing this all the time. For you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. The King James says a peculiar people. The New King James says his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Amen. Again, the instant we entered the kingdom of God, we came into light. We left darkness. He invited us. He called us in. And we are his special people now. And this word special in Titus means being beyond usual. That we're kind of unusual people, a peculiar people, a strange people. And it also means one's own. So we're God's own people. We're special people. In Peter, it means preservation. That word special in 1 Peter means of preservation. Mean we are a people that God preserves. Amen? And some people, I heard some false prophetess once preaching to a bunch of people about we're going to live forever. You can think you're going to die if you want, but I'm going to live, you know, and working up the people. And at the end, she's taking offerings for $1,000 and things like that. We're going to die, but we're going to die when God's done with us. God's going to take us when he wants to. There's going to be a day in the very near future, could happen today, where God's going to call us home. He did that to Enoch. One day he says, I'm bringing him home. Praise God. But while we're here, he's preserving our lives. We're under his preservation. And we must understand this, and I know we do, that anything that does come upon us, any of us, you can be assured God has allowed it. It didn't like, oh, how did that person get sick on me? How did that slip by? It doesn't happen. He's allowed it. Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God. All things work together. All things, everything that you face, everything we go through, every attack by the enemy, every coarse word that your neighbor or coworker would say, every rejection, every disease you would ever get, any financial problem, any family matters, every one of those things can work out to good, for good. But there's a qualification. Sometimes we forget the qualification. It has to be those who love God. For it works together for good to those who love God. Not just the casual believer that's in it to get something. I got saved now, Lord. Now that I did this, what do you owe it to me? But those that love God, he will work it out. And it's to those who are called according to his purpose. So he has a purpose. Let him do his purpose. Let him do his work in your life. It's going to work out to the good. This is God's word. This is what Spirit of God inspired Paul, speaking for God himself to us, that he'll work it out. Rest in him. Trust in him. Give him your life. Lay it all in his hands. He meant it for good to do these few things for you. One is, he's perfecting you. That is our chief motive as believers, to be conformed to the image of Christ. That is the chief work of the Holy Spirit. That's the work of the pastors, the ministers, to help perfect you. That's what it says in Ephesians 4, 11 through 13. The ministers are given to help perfect. Trials are given to help. Let patience have its perfect work. This is what James says, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. So God is allowing things in our life to perfect us, to make us more like him. Sometimes we spend so much time resisting instead of, like, God's understanding. God's in the process right now of doing a great work in me. I must let him. I must cooperate with him. We have to remember this good that he's doing to us, that he's teaching us. We learn, you know, I've learned a lot of things, or I shouldn't say a lot of things, but some of the things I've learned in ministry, I've learned the hard way. You know, maybe I've never heard anybody teach it, maybe I have, but for somehow, like, well, I don't know, I'm going to do it my way. And then later on I go, oh man, I just brought a bunch of trouble on myself, and I've learned going through that. Praise God. Thank God. I thank God that I learned. I would never wish I didn't go through anything I did, because God used that to teach me. Some people never get over. To this day, there's people that never get over the church hurt and things like that. And they never get over it. They never learn the lesson that God taught them. And they just become ornery cranks. And I wouldn't be surprised they miss out on heaven in the end. Another thing he's doing to us, he is increasing our faith. I don't know about you. I'm sure you have. Haven't you asked God to increase your faith? If you don't want him, if you don't want to face the trials that go with that, then quit asking him to increase your faith. But you know, this coronavirus, some of it is because of, you know, I'm 64 years old. I've seen a lot of things, a lot come and a lot of things go. But some of my, like, I get out in the stores, I go into stores until just maybe in the last couple of days, but forget that this is going on. And it's going in there and just thinking life is usual. The coronavirus is not, my mind's just not on it. And I'm going to attribute maybe a good portion of it because, God, I've learned to trust God. I've learned my faith has increased because I've seen God allow me to go through things and bring me through them. And every time he does that, coming out of that, my faith is increased. I ask God, increase my faith. And he does it. So we cannot be fearful of the things we have to face. Every time we go through something, God is using that to show us that he's with us. Sometimes he seems far away, but when it's all said and done, we see, God, you are with me all the time. Like the beautiful poem of the man seeing God, seeing his footprints and another set of footprints. And then when he was in his biggest need in his life, he only saw one set of footprints, and it was God saying, that's when I carried you. It's a beautiful poem. But Every time we go through something and we come out, we can see that he is in control. Saints, you believe God's in control? Do you really believe God's in control? Amen. I'm glad I got some people here to say amen. Amen. Some of you are standing strong like me today in faith against this virus because you saw the Lord bring you and bring your family and your loved ones through many things in your life. Hallelujah. The increase of your faith is glory to God. He gets the glory for it. It isn't like you're becoming something mighty. You're mighty in him. He increased your faith. And then one more point I want to make is he's preparing you. He is preparing you. He's preparing us for what lies ahead. You can see that he's preparing the church right now. He's doing a wake-up call to the church. And he's preparing you to use you. God didn't just mean the trials, that your trials were for your good, but he also meant your trials were for the good of others. Praise God. Every trial you go through, when you come out of it, you are better. You are better for your neighbor. You are better for your brothers and sisters in Christ. It brings us through individuals, but for the good of the church. Amen. And I've seen countless times in this church someone is hurting in a particular way, is maybe lacking faith and going through something, whatever. And another individual, brother or sister in our church, has experienced, has lived that, has gone through that, and I see them come alongside. They have compassion. They understand. And I'm not one of those that believe you cannot minister unless you go through it. I'm not one of those. But what a blessing. It can be if you've gone through something that another brother or sister in the church is going through, and you could come along and encourage them, give them wisdom. God did that in you. God made you a willing and able minister through the things that we have to face as Christians and as the body of Christ. It can sure encourage you during some tough times to know that what you are facing is meant for good, but not just for your good, but for the good of others, for the good of the body of Christ. No wonder we have such a good body here. Because we face things and we get through them and we share that good with one another. If this virus would come upon any of us, you should not have to react or fear like the world does. After what I all just told you, you know God's in control. The world is the one who puts their hope in man. They put their hope in science. They put their hope in medicine. They put their hope in governments. But men are mortal. They are limited in their knowledge and abilities. Let God be true and every man a liar. You know how you hear all the time out there, that, well, I'm going to trust science. And I feel like saying, yeah, but scientists can lie too. Just because someone's a scientist or a doctor doesn't mean that they're telling you the truth. If you can get a big grant for millions of dollars to try to prove something, you're going to do your best to maybe even have flawed results or tinker with things to get the results that you need so you can keep on getting grant money. But one thing we can know, that men are liars and God is true. And aren't you glad you trust and your trust and hope isn't in a liar? We all think most of us think our government isn't telling us the whole thing. Our government is up to something. I don't know, or there's something they're really scared about. Who knows? And they don't want to tell us. But church, don't worry about what comes across the airwaves, across your TV. We belong to the kingdom of God. Amen. That's what this is about. We're secure and safe in the kingdom of God. Probably many of us would buckle under fear if our trust was in the government to save us from this pandemic. Most of our minister friends believe, as I do, that God is up to something. I think our church believes and knows God is up to something. He is definitely calling his world to turn to him. He is calling America to repentance. But don't think for a moment that this doesn't have something to do with the church. I think in this, God is refining the church. God is dealing with the church. There are Christians that are struck with fear. I don't doubt it at all. And right, and then God, the Spirit's starting to work and go, see, where has your trust been? And he's using them. And they're repenting and saying, God, forgive me that I buckled under this, God. I believe God's refining, God's restoring, God's bringing the remnant in. He is in the process of separating the wheat from the chaff. He's in the process of separating the remnant from the religious. God will use this to teach us how to really be the church. Amen. I believe we are really the church. Acts 5, 41 through 42 says this. Acts 5, 41 through 42. So they departed from the presence of the council. The disciples, they suffered some persecution. And the reaction was that they rejoiced that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. I experienced this to such a mild degree. But when I read this the other day, I was reminded, I did feel a tinge of shame. I was 20-some years ago preaching over at State Fair Park. I was with Dale, who founded his church, a couple other guys, John and Matt. We were taking turns preaching from a mic on the grass. And then the rest of us were just standing on the sidewalk passing out tracks. And a couple girls go by, young ladies. I think Matt was preaching. And they went by and we held out tracks. They wouldn't take them. And then as they're walking away, they're giving us the official sign behind their back. And so it's my turn to preach. So I go over on the grass and I'm preaching. And then all of a sudden I see my comrades looking behind me. So I turn around and there's police officers with a detective leading them. I believe about three police officers. And they came up to me. And I had a shirt and a tie on. In those days, Dale, he kept on changing his mind, but he wanted me to wear a shirt and a tie. So I did. So I'm out there and I'm preaching. I turn around and see these police officers coming. They gather around me. And the detective says, there's two ladies said that you broached them. You're impeding them from going to the state fair, something like that. And I said, well, that ain't true. And the guys came over and said, that ain't true. They were cussing at us and, you know, flipping us off and things like that. And he goes, well, I'll go talk to them. And the police officers are standing around me. And they go, you don't have a weapon on you, sir. And I go, no, just my sword, my Bible. And they kind of laughed. And then he went and talked to them. He came back and goes, oh, no. They said you did it, and her girlfriend said you did too, so they handcuffed me. And they took me in to into the state fairgrounds. They took me into a building there, and they handcuffed me to a bar. But as I was going in, there was people kind of mocking me, God, a fake preacher, and different things. That I felt a moment of shame, even though I didn't do anything wrong, but I could understand just for a tinge of moment the shame. I wish I would have followed that up with rejoicing that I could be counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Continuing on. But anyways, they fingerprinted me, wrote me a ticket, and then Dale says, just go in and plead a jury trial. So I did. I didn't mind paying the $320, but it's like kind of admitting that I did something. So I wasn't so excited to do that. I pleaded a jury trial. The girls, they wouldn't testify, so it just got dropped. So praise God. But anyways, continuing. I'm going to start again. So they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple, the house of God here, and in every house, which you are at home now, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. We know how to be the church in the temple. Amen? Now, God is teaching us how to be the church in the home. Jeremy and I, Kenny, few of you have a little experience of being in a home when we've been going to the Way Fellowship in Columbus. And you know, there was a home church movement and probably still going where people think you changed the location, that somehow God's going to be different. Never has to do with location. It has to do with the heart. And if it's real believers gathering together for the glory of God. And I'll tell you, somebody's asked me, is there any difference in between the other than the size? Sometimes there's more to manage, bigger. Is there any difference? Nope, the Lord shows up at both. Fellowship is sweet at both. So God's going to teach us how to be the house church, how to function. Maybe someday that's how we'll be. I know it's disappointing. Some people would ask me once, "Why you ever gonna you can do two services?" I go, "I don't want to do two services. I will do two services. If people are waiting at the door to get in, we'll say, open the door and let the next batch in." But you know, here's why I don't want to do two services. I have three sons, three daughter-in-laws, and 11 grandchildren. I don't want half of them to come over, and then a little later, the other half come over. I want them all to come. I understand if you get too big, it's just not possible. But this is the kind of, this is unique from what I hear, what we have here. This church really has a genuine love. It's like me having 23 sons and a bunch of daughters and daughter-in-laws and sons-in-laws and a bunch of grandkids. And I want us to all be here together. And I have some older sisters. Penny's here today. Yeah. So I enjoyed being together with all of us. And you know what? As long as we can, praise God, we will. Amen. That's why we opened up the wall. But if we can't, God will make it up to us. Amen. We'll have to go from, maybe we'll just meet every day and we'll get our fix of everybody sooner or later. So right now it is time like this that the church cannot be gripped in fear. Your neighbors and unsafe family members need to see you stand strong and confident in the Lord. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Let's have a sound mind. Somebody needs to have a sound mind when minds are gripped with fear and confusion and mistrust. It is times like this when people need hope that the church has the opportunity to share the hope that is in them. There are people who are out there that are looking for answers. The other day, Friday, I think it was, I had my neighbor. I haven't seen him for ages. I took him his mail, and he invited me in the house. We started talking about politics. That's how we got started. And I said something, and he didn't know if that was really true what I said. And I started thinking, well, I just heard that. So I don't know if that's true. So I just kind of like quit politics. I just kept on pointing it back to the kingdom of God. And we had a talk, and I got to share the Lord with them probably for about a half hour I was there. So then later that day, I looked up what I told them. And I found out it wasn't true. So Saturday, I was heading out. I think I was coming here. I called him because I saw his car was home. And he says, "Hey, Tony, I got to apologize to you. That information I gave you isn't true. Here's the real truth of it." And he really respected me that I would do that and opened up. I got to share the Lord with him again. And the politics seemed to not be that important to him. And he even said to me one point along the line, he says, "Maybe that's why you moved next to me." And I go, "No doubt it is." Tony, God loves you, you know. So I asked you to pray for him. And this happened because I know his restaurant was closed for one thing. And pray for him for that. He owns a restaurant and it's closed down. He had to call one of his waitresses, 15 years, raising four children, told her, "There's no work for you. I'm closed." And she's crying. So he's feeling bad and that. So the coronavirus opened up this opportunity for me to minister to him. So The church, we are the church. We are the invention, kind of a dumb word to use, but we're the invention of God, meaning we're his creation. He is the one that determined it and decided it. We are the instrument of God. Just like when you come here and see us working on here, we have tools. We have things we can use to do the work. Well, God has an instrument. God has a tool on the earth. It's you and I, his church. And we got to be that bright new shiny hammer and new screwdriver, his tool to use, not cowering. We are the corporate expression of the kingdom of God. God wants his kingdom to be seen and heard. He wants his kingdom to have a visual effect to it. And it's in us, the corporate church. We are called to promote and display the kingdom of God. We can only do that when we put all our hope and our trust in the Lord. Jeremiah 17, 7 and 8, a good couple scriptures to memorize. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and I love it, whose hope is the Lord. Not who hopes in the Lord, but whose hope is the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river, and will not fear when heat comes, will not fear when viruses come, but its leaf will be green and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. The tree that's not planted close to a water source will wilt, will struggle at times to survive when the rain doesn't fall. But if we're planted by the waters, we'll stay green. Hallelujah. He is our living water. Amen. So again, church at home, again, if your hands are clean, we're sure learning a lot about washing hands. And coughing, Joy's yelling at me to cover my mouth. I've coughed my whole life. There's nobody within 6 feet. So I'm learning like that. So, but join hands if you want. Let's just pray for our nation. Let's pray for our church. You can do that as this live stream ends. And you can continue to pray right there in your houses. We can do that here. Just encourage one another. Spend time right now together just seeking the Lord. So, Lord, we just pray right again, Lord, for our nation, Lord, what's going on. Lord, more than that, Lord, we pray for the church, Lord, that the church right now would rise up, Lord, not in arrogance, Lord, not in anger, Lord, not in retaliation, Lord, but we would rise up with the hope. To spread the hope that is within us, the testimony that you are alive and you save and you heal and you forgive, Lord, and that people can look to you during this time and come to you, Lord. God, let us have a sweet spirit of love upon us, God. Hallelujah. God, let our fellow American know, God, that we're with them and we care about them, Lord. God, touch them, Lord. God, I think of President Trump, just how my brain was on overload earlier in the week, just thinking about him and all that goes on and the constant hatred towards him on top of that, of people just being against him even when he's trying to do good, Lord. God, so I just pray, God, you give him your peace, Lord. You use this, God, also in the time for him to get desperate for you to really and truly call upon you. Lord God, give him wisdom that he needs, Lord, for the decisions that he makes that'll affect 320 or 30 million people, Lord, and also other nations. Because as this nation goes, so many other nations, Lord God. So him and all of our government officials, Lord, may this be a time that they truly come together. There seems to be some cooperation, Lord, that we haven't seen for a long time, Lord God. So I just pray, God, for our government officials, Lord. God, I would just pray that they rule by truth, Lord God. God, not trying to manipulate us, Lord. Probably a day is coming, Lord, when they will. But Lord, let them right now know the truth and their concern for us, Lord God, without being overbearing, being ridiculous about it, Lord. So just help them, Lord. Bless, let your peace right now fall on us, Lord, as it has already in our homes. Lord, and I just pray that ministry would just continue right now, God, that we encourage and bless and love on one another. In the name of Jesus, and everybody at home and in here, say amen. Amen. Praise God. Amen.